I think looking back at my career, I think I was probably hiding a bunch or compartmentalizing a bunch of the stuff that I was going through, just because I think I was always taught that we weren't allowed or weren't supposed to show a weakness or something like that ever, because of being an athlete, you're supposed to be strong and be able to push through anything. So I think, you know, my struggles carried on through my career and I hid them really well. But I think really going into the last Olympics, I was just ready to kind of open up and let everything come out. And for me, you know, this is something that is very important. And there are so many people that struggle from very similar things that I go through and still go through.
That is the winner of 28 Olympic medals. That's right, 28 Olympic medals, 23 gold. That is the voice of Michael Phelps. And he'll be giving us 7 super tips on today's Super You podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You. Thank you for joining us for today's Super You podcast. I am your host, Eric Quammen. Most of you know me as Equal Man. Today, we're getting 7 super tips from arguably the greatest Olympian of all time. That's right. It's Michael Phelps. Trivia question. How tall is Michael Phelps? 6'4". So he's a little shorter than I am, but I went as a Halloween costume. I did a Halloween costume once as Michael Phelps. So maybe we'll post that out there on the page for this particular podcast so you can get a good laugh out of that. But anyways, Michael Phelps, all of us know who he is. But now we're going to find out what's behind him, what's driving him. You'll be curious to know that he struggles a lot with mental health. And so he'll get into that a little bit here today. So the greatest of all time has his own challenges, his own struggles. And to his credit, he's had the courage to put that out in the public. And so I think that benefits society. It benefits others that are wrestling with mental health. But again, thank you for joining us for today's Super You podcast. It's all made possible by Amazon Audible. So get a chance, go check out and listen to your favorite book. It's a great time to do it where you're working remotely. You can take a break from work, walk outside and put on your headphones and listen to your favorite book. So again, that's Amazon Audible. And again, thanks for joining us for the Super You podcast. As you know, this podcast, what we're trying to do is just give you 7 super tips from some of the top athletes, some of the top thought leaders, some of the top business people around the world, in the hopes that it helps unlock and unleash that superpower that's within you. So without further ado, here is tip number 1 from Michael Phelps.
My 2 older sisters, they're 5 and 7 years older than I am, and they were swimming all the time. My mom was in public education and then going back for a master's, and we were always at the pool. So for me, I was watching them swim, and I watched my sisters get better and better, and they started traveling throughout the world. And my middle sister was 3rd in the world and 1st in the nation at 13, and I was like, whoa, that seems really cool. Like, I want to do that. And when I got with my coach when I was 11 years old, he sat down with my family and said that I could be an Olympian in 4 years if I really wanted to. And at that time, I was playing baseball, lacrosse, soccer, and swimming. And at that point, my mom was like, okay, well, if you want to do all of them, go ahead. And my coach said, well, if you want to make the Olympic team, you got to focus on one. So I said, okay, fine, let's do it. You say I can make the Olympic team, that's what I want to do, let's go. And for some strange reason, at that very moment, I trusted this guy and decided to say, let's go and do it. And for some reason, we went on this mission, and 4 years later, he put me on my first Olympic team. So for me, I think since I've stepped away from the sport over the last 2 years, I think I've been able to understand more of really what happened throughout my life and why things happened throughout my life. And I think what I kind of made up about that situation was he was somebody who trusted me and somebody who really thought that I could do something I put my mind to, and he believed in me. And I think right then and there, that's what I was looking for, because My parents divorced at a very young age, and he was kind of like a father figure who really believed in me. And I think that was something that I was really looking for then, and I decided to say, okay, let's do it, and we did it together. And I think from that moment forward, we just decided that we could do absolutely anything that we put our mind to.
You know, I was looking up stats on Michael. It's crazy to think about, but if Michael Phelps was a country, he'd be ranked 32nd all time in medal count. That's all time, as in everything a country has won in 120 years in 28 Summer Olympics. He'd be the 32nd highest ranked country. As I mentioned in the intro, he has 28 medals to his credit. 23 are gold, 3 are silver, and 2 are bronze. Here we are with tip number 2.
So I came back from the 2000 Olympic Games as a 15-year-old, and after the Olympics is usually when people take time off, where they take a break, they relax for 3 to 6 months, and then they get back into it. For me, I was into it the next day after the final of the 200 fly. I was fifth place. I was 3/10 out of a medal. I was upset. So I used that as motivation leading into the next year. And the very first day that we had a practice, my coach put WR on the top right-hand corner of the paper. WR meant world record. I was a 15-year-old kid. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know what this is, but why is this? What's this doing here? Like, why are you putting this in the upper right-hand corner? He's like, we're going to break a world record in 6 months. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, let's try it. Sure enough, 6 months later, I break my first world record. So I'm like, okay, like this is starting to get really cool, like starting to get fun.
All right, a lot of people are fascinated by Phelps on what he eats. He eats anywhere from 8 to 10,000 calories a day when he's training. You heard me right, 8 to 10,000 calories a day when he is training. He has to keep eating because he can easily lose 5 pounds in a week if he doesn't. So think about that, 8 to 10,000 calories a day. All right, here we are at tip number 3.
I mean, for me, when I got to a swim meet, there's nothing that I can control at that point, right? I can control what I do and how I prepare, sort of getting up behind the block and just racing. I can't control what anybody else does. So for me, I want to know how the race could go, how I don't want the race to go, and in a perfect world, how the race should go. Because it all goes back to preparation. If you're not preparing yourself before the meet, you're not going to get a time you deserve. So for me, I have to make sure I'm doing all the work leading up to a big meet so that I get behind the block and I don't have to think about anything else. I'm not worried about how I prepared. So I started visualizing at like 13, 14, just so everything around me was taken care of when I got to a meet, so I could be completely relaxed. So when I put my headphones on, all I'm thinking about is the music. I get to go up and just do what I practice to do. All of those countless hours of staring at the black line at the bottom of the pool, that was for this moment. So I just never really thought when I got behind the block and let everything do what was supposed to happen. If I didn't get the results that I wanted, then I would just go back to the drawing board. And that's really just how I worked my whole life. But I mean, visualizing just, it just mentally prepares you and you can kind of check that box off. And I think that's what we wanted to do. Every time we got to a major international competition, we wanted to check off as many boxes as we could. Because if we did that, then what else do we have to worry about? Everything else is just going to happen naturally like it should.
All right, as we move on to tip number 4, as I mentioned, he eats between 8 and 10,000 calories a day when he's training, which is the equivalent of 5 average men. So what does he eat for breakfast? Just to give you an idea of what that looks like. 3 fried egg sandwiches with cheese, tomatoes, lettuce, fried onions, and mayonnaise, followed by 3 chocolate chip pancakes, a 5 egg omelet, 3 sugar-coated slices of French toast, and a bowl of grits, washed down with 2 cups of coffee. For lunch, that was breakfast, for lunch, 0.5 kilogram, 1 pound of enriched pasta, 2 large ham and cheese sandwiches on white bread smothered with mayonnaise, washed down by energy drinks. And then for dinner, another half kilogram of pasta, which again, a half kilogram is 1 pound, and perhaps with carbonara sauce, followed by a large pizza and more energy drinks. I mean, that's just crazy. And this is coming from, this is probably going back to me. I once ate the 99-cent menu at Wendy's, which was 6,500 calories. So this is mind-blowing even to me that this was his daily meal when he was training for the Olympics. All right, here we are with tip number 4.
We all go through things. We all go through struggles, right? There's probably everybody in this room that goes through struggles the same exact way. And I think that's what we all have to realize. Like, yes, like I've been successful in what I've done, but it doesn't make me superhuman. It just makes, you know, for me, I was very goal oriented and very passionate about what I was doing and wanted to be the best. So, you know, for me, I was able to do that. But I mean, I put my pants on just like everybody else does. So it's like, you know, like, it's just something that every single person goes through. And you know, for me, I was sick and tired of compartmentalizing things that I didn't want to talk about. And I just opened up. And honestly, since then, my life has become easier. I always make the joke. I was like, yeah, I learned to communicate at 30.
Now, what's interesting for Phelps is before 2012, before the Olympics in London, he actually lost interest in the sport and even began to miss many of the practice sessions. So he and his famous coach or legendary coach, Bob Bowman, they got into a brutal fight, so much so that Phelps smashed his watch against the wall and broke it. And they yelled at each other and he screamed off in his car. They flipped each other the bird, and then Phelps didn't show up for training for 10 days. And he absolutely didn't care about the road leading up to Atlanta. He said that he was just trying to fake it because he simply didn't want to be there. He thought he was just over it. The laughing and joking that he has in the pool now wasn't there for him in 2012. So it wasn't without challenges if you think about that he didn't show up for 10 days. And so there's always that roller coaster ride. It's just making sure that over the long term that we're continuing to go up. But there'll be those valleys that all of us experience, including the greatest of all time in swimming, Michael Phelps. So here we are with tip number 5.
I think looking back on my career, I think I was probably hiding a bunch or compartmentalizing a bunch of the stuff that I was going through, just because I think I was always taught that we weren't allowed or weren't supposed to show a weakness or something like that ever, because of being an athlete, you're supposed to be strong and be able to push through anything. So I think, you know, my struggles carried on through my career, and I hid them really well. But I think really going to the last Olympics, I was just ready to kind of open up and let everything come out. And for me, you know, this is something that is very important. And there are so many people that struggle from very similar things that I go through and still go through.
Now, Phelps accomplished all of this by being raised by his mother, a single parent. She's a school principal, and before the Rio Olympics, she didn't want to push him too much, but once he said that he was going to Rio, she was secretly hoping that he would. She said, "I've never been there before." So go, Mom, and a shout-out to all the mothers out there as we move into tip number 6.
When I said I wanted to win 8 gold medals, basically half the people in the swimming world thought I was absolutely crazy and nobody could ever do something like that. But for me, I was somebody who believed in it and somebody who believed in the process of getting there. I knew it wasn't going to happen overnight, like I said before, but every little small thing that we did was a small stepping stone in order to even be able to have that chance and that opportunity to do what I did in 2008. So, you know, when I say from 2002 to 2008 was basically trial and error. So for me, in 2002, that's really when I started amping up my event schedule, where I was swimming 4 to 5 individual events and having a couple relays at Pan Pacs, World Championships, major international competitions throughout that time frame. Because at that time, at the Olympic Games, that's where I think the real truth comes out. Because I think there are a lot of people who are very talented who can make it there. There are very few people who can deal with the pressure and the stress that happens when we're there. So that's why I say we had to make sure that we were physically, emotionally, and mentally ready, because I had to be ready to be able to kind of manage my emotions through that week. Yeah, winning a gold medal is
absolutely incredible. There's nothing better than standing on the podium listening to your national anthem play after you had just won a gold medal. But for me, I'm somebody who I knew that I had 7 other events after the first day. So I have to throw that in the back of my head. I got to throw that race out. Even though if I, you know, even like in 08, I broke a world record, won gold, you know, won my first gold medal. Like, I was like, cool, like things are starting really well. So I have to put that behind me to then get ready for the next race. And on top of that, I have to make sure I'm eating the right amount, I'm sleeping the right amount, my body is as fresh as I can possibly be. So that means sitting in an ice tank, getting massages, getting stretched, all of these small things that end up adding up to the major end result. And that was something that we learned through those through that process. So for us, we always also tried to compare. Every day is a new challenge, right? Every day is a challenge is a day that we can prepare ourselves even more. So for us, it was, we would call it putting money into the bank. So at the end of the year, when we had a major international competition, we could withdraw that money that we had saved throughout the year. And look, I'll be the first one to tell you, there were a lot of days where I did not want to get out of bed. And I guarantee you, if I ask the question here, if everybody is excited to get out of bed every single day, if I saw a hand, I'm going to blatantly call you a liar. Because we all know that is far from the truth. But if you have those little small goals, those little small things that get you excited when you don't want to, it's going to make it even better and even easier at the end when you're getting ready for a presentation or the end of the year or this or that, whatever event you're leading up to. It's going to make it so much easier. And I think if you look at the greats in anything that in any walk of life, the greats do things when they don't always want to. And that's the separation. For me, that's what I've found. Because I can sure as hell tell you that there were days where I hated my coach. There were days where we got in fights, we got in arguments, we couldn't stand what we were doing. I would do things purposely to piss him off, but that's a different story. But, you know, I think that was just really how we worked. Like, he was somebody who was so perfect for me that if I ever would have swam for anybody else, I would never would have had the chance to do what I did, because he challenged me in ways and forced my mind to think differently.
As we move on to our final tip, tip 7, you might be wondering where he keeps his gold medals. He usually keeps them wrapped in an old t-shirt inside a makeup bag. He doesn't like to display his medals, and he actually doesn't look at them too often. He only takes them out when people want to see them. So here we are with tip number 7.
I've been very fortunate to be surrounded by a group of amazing people who have helped me get to where I am today. You know, obviously my family is massive. My coach is a huge influence. My agent is, I have so many father figures, and he is like a father figure. My coach is like a father figure. So for me, I've been very fortunate to have a lot of powerful people around me and to help mold me and help me learn more and more through my journey. So for me, it's, honestly, I think the reason that it worked so well is because I was open to hearing what they said or hearing what they were trying to help me understand. And that's something I think that went a long way and really helped me become who I am today, where now I actually like who I am. You know, for a while it was hard for me to have self-confidence and self-love. And now I'm able to look at myself in the mirror and love who I see.
All right, those are the 7 super tips from Michael Phelps today. You might be aware of his foundation. He started a foundation that helps thousands of urban kids learn how to swim. Accidental drowning is a leading cause of death in young children. And so his foundation promotes water safety. It also promotes healthy living and pursuing one's dreams. And Phelps even noted that he was afraid when he first started swimming and swam on his back to avoid getting water in his face, just like many children do. His foundation has worked with the help of the Boys and Girls Clubs of America and Special Olympics to teach more than 15,000 how to swim. So good for him. Good on him. So good for you, too, for tuning in today's Super U podcast. I hope you got a lot out of today's episode. Feel free to shoot me a note, equalman@equalman.com. Also, feel free, thank you so much for the reviews, the 5-star reviews. help people discover this podcast that really need it. So thank you so much for making that happen. And a huge thanks to our sponsor, Amazon Audible, for making it all possible. So thanks again for tuning in. This is your host, Equal Man, reminding all of us, until next time, it's not what we take from the world, it's what we leave behind.
7 6 5 4 3 2 1
Super, super, super,
super you.